Welcome to the Labor Lessons Podcast, real life lessons from real life labor and delivery experiences, offering support and the knowledge that you are not alone on your birthing journey. The purpose of this podcast is to educate based on others' past experiences. It is not intended as medical advice. I'm your host, Carly, C-section mom, VBAC mom, and mom who's simply passionate about birth. Welcome back to this episode of the Labor Lessons Podcast. My guest today is Eileen Joy. She is the money coach for moms. She teaches busy and overwhelmed moms how to manage their money and get their ish together. She had a home birth with a midwife and a birth doula 10 years ago. After firing four doctors, realizing that her birth plan was not important to anyone but her, and after a ton of research and reflection, she chose to have a water birth at home away from the people who kept telling her no. Wow, what an empowering story. I'm really looking forward to hearing this one. Eileen's labor lesson is that no one cares about you more than you. Eileen, welcome. Thank you for being here with me today.
Hi, Carly. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to talk about this.
I love empowering birth stories. I'm really looking forward to hearing yours.
So I guess I'll just start with my pregnancy. So my pregnancy was a surprise. And my whole life, I always told myself I would never have kids. And I was really surprised. I actually took four tests in Target. I was in the Target bathroom going test after test. And then I got the one that was digital. So I didn't want to read the lines. Like, first I got the lines and I'm like, I wasn't sure. So I went back and I got the digital one that says pregnant or not pregnant. And I was like, oh man, I can't believe this. And it was funny because I was with some of my coworkers at the time. They came with me because I was really nervous. And many of the women that I worked with at the time were also pregnant. Like, it was like everybody was getting pregnant. So I was like, what are you guys doing to me? Is there something in the water in the office? Like, what is going on? And they were the most supportive and wonderful people at the time to work with. And we all shared pregnancy, everything. And it was great. It was a really great time. And then I just kind of dove into just being pregnant because I never imagined myself having a baby. So I never really ever thought about it. So then I went into the land of Google, you know, Google University, right? And I was just reading everything that I possibly could about being pregnant. And I learned so much. And I became obsessed, really. I was really obsessed. And I think like I was in the office just on Google more than I was actually working. And for the whole time I was pregnant. And I went out and I did everything to be as healthy as I possibly could and do whatever I could that, you know, Google told me to do to make sure that baby was healthy and blah, blah, blah. Like I even went out and got those belly bud things that you stick to your stomach and let the baby listen to music all day. And
I still have them.
Yeah. That's yeah. Really cool. And I did all the things. And then also I had made this photo album because I was getting those weekly emails. I don't remember from what company it was, but it was like, your baby is the size of an almond this week. Your baby's the size of a peach. Your baby's the size of a, you know, stalk of celery or whatever, you know, bag of potatoes. And so every week I would get these emails and I was like, that's so cool. And then I actually made a photo album of myself holding the actual thing that the email told me, like, your baby's the size of blah, blah, blah this week. And I made a whole photo album on Shutterfly after I gave birth. And I'm planning on giving it to my son someday, maybe when he has his own kids, or maybe I'll just hold on to it forever. I don't know. But it's such a great treasure, you know, to remember these things. And my son is 10 now, so, you know, I don't revisit, you know, my birth quite often. And, you know, like once a year on his birthday, I talk about it. And so this is really cool to be able to relive all of this. And Yeah. So my pregnancy, I got myself really healthy. I became obsessed about toxic and harmful chemicals. And I got rid of everything in my house that was toxic. Like anything that had something on a label that I didn't understand what it was, I threw it out. And I found ways to use water to clean things and like different pHs of water that, you know, actually kill mold just from using water. It's really interesting. And so like I just dove into it and then I ate so clean, so clean. And it was like, it was crazy because I was an overweight kid. And I had dieted my way up to 245 pounds. And I lost 130 pounds many, many years ago, over 20 years ago now. And I was so afraid that I was going to gain all my weight back. And so then I became obsessed with my weight. And it was this whole thing. And I still gained 70 pounds, even though I was watching everything. And then at the end of my pregnancy in my third trimester, I was like, F it, I'm eating pizza, you know, and I went out, I ate the entire pie by myself. I was like, whatever, you know. But because I was living a healthy lifestyle, and I was able to lose the weight very quickly, thank God. And, you know, still, because I had gone from a size 22 to a 2, and then all of a sudden I was like over 200 pounds in my pregnancy. I'm like, how the heck did this happen? You know? And so that was a big obsession for me as well. And I was always wondering, like, am I hurting the baby? What am I doing? You know, I just was so obsessed with looking every little thing up. And I think I drove myself crazy and everyone around me. But yeah, it was a great time. I loved being pregnant. I loved everything about it. And it's funny now because, after I was wearing like the maternity jeans and then like I was losing the weight and I was like, they should just make jeans like this for women. Like these are so comfortable. Like, why do we have to wear this crap that's so uncomfortable and doesn't fit us right? You know? And so, you know, during COVID, my whole uniform changed. I now only wear yoga pants. I refuse to wear any, like, I haven't touched my jeans since COVID. Like, they're just hanging in my closet. I should probably give them away. But then I started looking for doctors and all the things and like understanding, like, you know, what do I do there? Like, you know, what are all the things that are entailed on the medical side? Because I didn't know either. I had to look all of that up. So I ended up firing 4 doctors, like you had said in my intro, because of all the research that I did and realizing that what I really wanted didn't matter. And most of the doctors that I met, like, I still remember one. I walked into her office and she didn't even look at me once. Like, literally, I was sitting on the table wearing the paper and I'm freezing cold, you know, and I'm really, you know, vulnerable and all the things. And she's just standing there. She walks and puts my chart down on the little counter thing and she was just flipping through the pages. Never once looks up at me. Like, and I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I hate you. You know? And then she finally turned around and started talking to me and she was just very so matter of fact about everything. Like I was just another patient, another number. Like I wasn't a person. Like, hi, my name is Eileen and, you know, this is my son and, you know, all these are really important things to me. And then she was telling me that, it was a requirement in her practice that if I went past 40 weeks that I would have to get a C-section.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well,
that's a big red flag.
Right? And I was like, why? Because I have to be on your schedule? Like, isn't it okay for the baby to come when the baby's ready to come? You know, so these were questions that I started asking myself. And then I was wondering, like, why is this okay? For centuries, ever since, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, women have been having babies without intervention, you know, and obviously there is a time, you know, for medical intervention if there is an issue, but for the most part, you know, it's a pretty natural process. And I also see a chiropractor and I've been going to the chiropractor for about 30 years and I go every single week just for health and maintenance and just to, I don't really get sick. You know, I really try to just keep myself really healthy. And so I was talking to my chiropractor about it because she also adjusts pregnant women and babies and all the things. And she's very into home births and things like that. So I was talking to her about it and I said, I don't know what to do. All these doctors I talk to, they don't care. They just go by the book. like, at this week, you have to do this. You have to have these shots and you have to take these tests and you have to do these things. And it's like, well, and they don't give you a reason why, just because it's in the book, you know? And it made me angry. It really made me angry and it made me confused because they never had a clear answer for me. It was just like, well, because I said so. It was like, you know, a mom going to the, because I said so, you know? And that doesn't mean anything. You know, it means nothing. So I ultimately decided after firing four doctors because of all these things that they all wanted to do some type of intervention, you know, and I'm like, why? You know, and then I wanted to have a water birth and then there were some hospitals that refused it and I would have to go to specific hospitals and they were far away and, you know, and I was like, why is this so inconvenient? You know, and like, I just realized that pregnancy and birth has become such a business, you know, which just made me so angry. I was very angry about it. So I started interviewing midwives and I found this wonderful, wonderful woman who has been a midwife for about over 20 years at the time. Now, I guess she's still a midwife. So it's been now 30 years and her, and she worked with another one with a partner. And then I also hired a doula and it was amazing. Every single appointment that I had was an hour long and it was just in her office and all we did was talk. And she got to know me and she actually cared about me. And, you know, and both midwives, I would, every other week I would meet with one or the other because it depended like who was working that week when I, you know, went into labor. So I got to know both of them and all the assistants and everyone. And, you know, I would come in, we would do the checkup. And then we would talk. And it was amazing. Like, I never had that experience at a doctor's office. No doctor takes the time to do that, you know? And so then at that point, I felt like I made a really great decision. And it was awesome. It was just so awesome. And then as it came time closer to my due date, they actually would come to my house instead of me going to their office. And they would come to my house. They would get to know my house. They would get to understand where I wanted to be when I wanted to give birth, and I was able to ask questions and show them, like, this is the layout of my house, what's possible, all these things. It was wonderful. It was great. And then, of course, I went into labor at 11:50 p.m. I was like, really? My water decided to break. I was like, this is not happening. So I called my midwife and I called my doula and they both told me, get in the bathtub, just go sit in the bathtub, be comfortable. The water will help to slow down the birth a little bit so that you can get some sleep. They were like, your priority right now is to get some sleep because you need the energy, you know? And I'm like, okay. So that's what I did. And I it was really cool because I had, at the time, I had 4 cats and 2 dogs. So I'm sitting in the bathroom, in the bathtub, and I'm like making the noises, all the primal noises that are coming out of me that I never, ever thought would ever come out of me. And all of them, all 6 of them are lined up by the bathtub just watching me. Like, what's wrong with mommy? What's going on? And then my dog Bella was just licking me the whole time. She was like trying to calm me. That was so cute. And so I guess I fell asleep. I don't even know what happened, but I woke up in the bathtub and all of a sudden my midwife and doula were there in my bathroom saying, okay, it's time. Let's do this, you know? And, so they actually, it was really cool. What they do is if I wanted to do a water birth, cause I thought it was the coolest thing. And I was like, I want to do that. So there's so many different ways to do it. And my midwife, had this big, it was like a big Rubbermaid kind of material, like a horse trough that she let all of her patients borrow and everyone shared it. And you would just change the liner. Like there was just like a plastic liner you'd put in. And so we all were borrowing it from each other. So like I went, so the girl that had a baby right before me, I went to her house to go pick it up. And so she gave me the horse trough and the hose and all the connectors and all these things and the plastic and all this. And then the girl that was due next after me came to my house to pick it up because she wanted to use it. It was really cool. So like, we're all friends still. It's really cool. And it was awesome because it was this really big tub, you know, that I could actually float in my house. And it was amazing. I put it in the flame in the family room, and they set it up and they put warm water in there, and I was like all nice and floaty and comfy and just, and then when it came time to push, you know, I had so much room, and it was really awesome. And then I ended up getting out of the tub because it turned out that his shoulder was a little stuck when I was trying to push. So I got out and she had this stool that I could like squat over. So instead of just laying down and pushing and all that, I was squatting and I was in a really good position, and she was able to get his shoulder free, and then bam, he came right out. And my ex was there at the time, we were married, but he caught him and we sat there on the floor and we were all snuggling, and then he cut the cord, and it was just awesome. And I just, you know, I just put him on my chest and we were laying there. And then my midwife went upstairs to the master bathroom and drew a bath for us. And she put all these like essential oils and flowers, and it was beautiful. And so we got in there, my son and I, and he had his first bath in this beautiful flower bath. And it was just a beautiful experience. And, the healing process wasn't so awesome, but you know, the day was awesome. But because of the shoulder getting stuck, like she had a, I tore a little bit. So it took a little bit of extra time for me to heal, which really sucked. But, you know, it is what it is. And then I remember that 4 days after I gave birth, he was 4 days old, my son Sebastian, who is now my best friend, by the way. And I'm so glad that I had him, and 4 days old, and there was a tornado warning. There was a tornado warning. The sirens were going off outside.
Were you freaking out?
I was freaking out because I was still on bed rest because of my tears. And yeah. So she's like, try not to move around too much. And, you know, just, and she had me doing like the sitz baths and all kinds of stuff. And it was like, it hurt, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go in the basement. So we're all huddled in the basement watching the news, you know, like the weather, trying to see where the tornado is. And it came very close.
That's crazy.
I was scared. But yeah, it was amazing. It was so amazing. And then, I don't even know. It was just amazing. And then as he was growing up, and now he's 10, like we've just become the best of friends. Like I'm the mom that I never had, you know. My mom was kind of a narcissistic, evil person, which is one of the reasons why I thought I would never have kids. I was afraid, because they always say you turn into your parents, you know, and I was so afraid that I would turn into my mother. But my whole goal in life is to, I say, what would my mom do in this situation? And then I just do the opposite. Right? And so, like, I just lead with love, you know, I just lead with love. And, I don't know. My son and I we just have the best relationship, and that's it's awesome. Just amazing. And I just love him. I love him more and more and more every single day.
No, that's awesome.
I have not stopped talking.
I just want to say I love that you phrase it as like you fired 4 doctors, because that implies that you're in charge, which you are.
Yes.
But a lot of doctors would have you believe that you're not in charge.
Exactly.
That they're the ones in charge. And like you said, they're like, you need to do this, you need to do this. And they don't really have a reason why. It's in the book. That's just the way it is. You need to follow what I'm telling you. So I love that you say that you fired 4 doctors. And I find this to be just such an empowering story. I hear a lot of traumatic birth stories. So it's really awesome to hear one where you were like, I'm taking charge of this. I'm doing what I want. I'm having the birth that I want. And you did. So that's incredible.
Yeah. Because, you know, you can, you really can. Like, I'm giving you permission today to take control of your own life, take your power back, and stop letting everyone tell you what life is supposed to be like. You know, it's kind of the American dream. Air quotes, the American dream, right? We're born, we're told we have to go to school, get good grades, go to college, get a great job, buy an expensive car, buy an expensive house, and then have 2.5 kids and a dog and a cat, and, you know, then hopefully retire someday, you know? And we're just told that this is the way that things are. But you know what? It's not. You can create your own destiny. And this is what I talk about with my son every single day. Every single day. And, you know, and it's interesting because being a money coach, like I've taught my son everything there is to know about money and I've set him up for life. And he's actually going to be a multimillionaire by the time he's my age. So he will have the opportunities and the choices to do whatever he wants. He's not going to be stuck in a cubicle somewhere saying, there has to be a better way, you know, like right. most people yeah. are because we're yeah. told that that is the way. But you know what? You can make your own choices. You can create your own destiny. Whatever you dream, you can do. And that's the American dream. You know, that's the American dream is we need to think differently. We need to stop following everybody else. And when your body is nudging you, when your body is saying and your intuition says there's something wrong here, listen to it. Because that's your body telling you. And it's usually a whisper. You know, and sometimes those whispers get louder and louder and louder and louder until you explode and then you end up in therapy because there is a better way and you're keeping yourself stuck because you're following what everyone else tells you is supposed to be. But think for yourself and let it just be. And it's so important with birth and doctors and like any doctor, not even birth, just any doctor. You know, you can go for a second opinion. You can go for a third opinion. You can go to another country if you want. You know, it's your choice. Stop just listening to what, like, this person said I have to do it, so that's just the way it is. You know, that's why I fired four doctors, because I wasn't happy and I wasn't comfortable. And I was like, screw this. You know, I don't want to live this way. I don't want someone telling me to do something I really don't want. And, you know, I found another way, so why not do that?
My husband has a former coworker. They don't work together anymore. She had a home birth. I think she's got three kids now. She had a home birth with all three of them. But when she had her first one, he was like, oh, you know, my coworker's having her baby at home. And we were kind of like, who does that? What is, like, why would you ever have your baby at home? And then after my first birth experience, I was like, I totally understand why you would want to have your baby at home. But I was like, I want to have my next baby at home. So it's kind of funny that change once you go through that experience with the doctors and the hospitals and it's like, wow, I'm not a person. I'm just a number. I'm just another one being put down the assembly line of birth in a hospital.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit about like, what was that process like for you when you were like realizing like the realization process for you of, was it that doctor who didn't even look at you? Was that like the turning point for you where you're like, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I'll go to the next doctor. It's the same thing. Next doctor. It's the same thing. Or was it like along your research, you had heard stories of people having home births or birthing centers with midwives and realizing that the level of care was different. Like, can you talk me through a little bit about that process?
Yeah.
And also how you came to find a doula.
Yes.
How did you know about a doula, you know, and then came to hire one?
Well, it was all my chiropractor. My chiropractor, I've been seeing her. So I moved here in 2004 and I started seeing her almost immediately. Like I found her right away. And I went through a few different chiropractors. Finding a chiropractor is the same as trying to find a therapist or a hairstylist or like, you know, you got to find the right one. There's so many of them, you know, but not all of them are for you, you know? So I went through a bunch, you know, and I found her and I felt very aligned with her. Like our ideals were the same, you know, and the way we think, you know? And she was the one that brought it up as soon as I got pregnant. And then I was really scared about it because like what you said, who does that? She has four kids. They were all home births. And she's very natural and, you know, she doesn't do a lot of medical intervention unless it's necessary. And like, if there were things with me, like I had a car accident, really bad car accident years ago. My son and I were in a bad car accident and we were taken to the hospital. Like medical intervention was necessary that day. You know, there's times for it when you need it. But for the most part, you know, the human body is designed to work a specific way. And that's what she was trying to tell me the whole time. And I was like, well, who does that? You know, I know you did that, you know, but, you know, America says, you know, or the world says you have to go to the doctor, you know. So at that time, I was just following along with what everybody else was doing, you know, and everyone that I worked with, all those other girls that were pregnant, we were all pregnant around the same time. It was crazy. When I worked there for 7 years and there was always at least one person pregnant, it was crazy. Wow. And Anyway, so all of them, like none of them had home births. They were like, go to the doctor. Here's a referral. And, you know, so I was just going, doing what everyone else was telling me to do. And I wasn't happy. I was just like those nudges, you know, my body was saying, this is not right. There's something not right here. There's just something wrong, you know? And then I started, you know, doing the Google thing. And then I found all these videos and movies. And so I forgot the name of the movie, but it's about something like birth is a big business. Or I think it was with Ricky Lake.
Being born.
Yeah, that.
The Business of Being Born. Yeah, it's a great movie.
That movie was amazing. I think everyone needs, that's a requirement just for being a human. Like whether, even men, like everyone needs to watch this movie because it's all facts. All of it. Every bit of it. And I saw that movie and then other videos and the people that I've met along the way who had home births and all of these things. And then I, my chiropractor introduced me to a bunch of people and I started chatting with them, just asking questions of like, why did you choose to have a home birth and what was the difference? And like, you know, these things. And then, you know, people that had many children, because I had never gone through it. I didn't know, you know. So it was just a lot of asking questions and then going through all these doctors that I felt like what I wanted didn't matter, you know? And I was so done with that because that's how my mother treated me. Like what I wanted didn't matter, you know? I'm like, well, when is it time for me to matter? You know, when is it time? You know, it's time for me to tell myself that I matter and that, you know, everyone else can just, you know, F off and I'm going to do what I want to do, you know? And so I asked my chiropractor for referrals and they were, and then I also asked these other women that I met that had home births for referrals, like who's your midwife and all the things. And then, I met a whole bunch of doulas. There was also a health fair that I had gone. It was like a wellness fair where it was like all the crunchy mamas go. And so, I joined their crunchy mama group. I actually had a sticker on my car. Crunchy moms.
Awesome.
And it was really cool. And yeah, so that's where I met all the people. And the whole world opened up to me of choice. Of it's okay to make your own choices. And if you have those nudges and your intuition is screaming at you, something's wrong, then there really is something wrong. You know, and that's how I went down that road. And so I interviewed all the midwives, I interviewed all the doulas, and I, you know, just picked someone that I felt aligned. And then even my midwife met my doula. So they met before we all went to my one appointment too. And they all got to know. It was amazing. Like, what doctor does that? What doctor does that?
Yeah, I know.
No.
And there's a lot of hospitals that don't even allow doulas.
I know. Yeah. And that was one thing I found out too. Well, along the way, I was like, because I would say, as soon as I would say the words birth plan to a doctor and I get the eye roll, that was when I'm like, okay, bye. Because that's when you know they don't care. They want to do it on their schedule. You know, that's why they plan it. Well, we're going to do a C-section on this day at this time because that's when I'm free. You know, but you know what? What about when the baby's ready? Maybe the baby isn't ready yet. And I went to 41 weeks.
I was going to ask you, when did your water break?
It was 40. Yeah. And it was funny too because I, when they said, like, when did you last period, all the things when they're trying to figure out your due date, I said, I think it's on this day because I worked it out from like what I thought it was. And they were like, no, 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 we think it's this day, which is a week earlier. And I was like, no, 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 I think it's a week later from what you're saying. And it was a week later. It was an exact week later, almost to the second when I went into labor from what I had originally said. I was like, I don't know how I did that, but that was pretty freaking cool.
Pretty cool. That's amazing. I had that experience with my second. I was just a short background. My first was a C-section. I wanted a VBAC with my second. So I was like tracking my cycle and I knew when I had ovulated and I was like, this is the day I ovulated. And they're like, well, we're going to go based on your last period, which was 3 days prior. My due date would have been 3 days prior. And if they hadn't let me go, they weren't really going to let me go past 40 weeks. She came on the due date that I said, you know, 3 days later. If they hadn't let me go past 40 weeks, then it's like, then I would have had, you know, another unnecessary surgery. So
yeah,
it's like, we know our bodies.
We do.
But they don't want to listen to us.
Yeah. We need to trust ourselves for everything, everything in our lives. It doesn't matter what it is. Trust yourself. Trust those nudges that you're feeling and that you're like, your body talks to you. You get those, like, the hair will stand up on your arms, or you get goosebumps, or you feel, like, nauseated, or, you know, like, there's different signals that your body gives you for different things, and we all ignore them. I was really good at painting red flags white. So good at that, you know?
Right. Because you're like, well, no, that can't be right. And then you doubt yourself because you're taught to doubt yourself.
You are.
You're taught not to trust your intuition.
Totally. Yeah.
So you never considered a birth center. You were like, I'm having a home birth. I want to do this at home. Tell me about what was your postpartum experience like, aside from the tornado warning?
Isn't that enough? Well, actually, my breasts were broken. So that was a whole tough thing for me because I really wanted to be as natural as I possibly could. You know, I mean, you know, I joined the Crunchy Mama group, you know, I mean, I wanted to breastfeed. But that was a thing for me. Like, I really wanted to breastfeed. And like, I have itty bitty titties and I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to. And I did not produce enough milk. I did not. And I was so determined to breastfeed that I didn't even buy formula, which in hindsight, I probably should have had a can laying around just in case, but I didn't. And my son also had a lip tie and a tongue tie. So he wasn't latching properly, plus I wasn't producing, and then he couldn't latch. So it was like this whole cycle of a problem. So I was then referred to a lactation specialist who thankfully came to my house. And because like at that time, I couldn't get up. Like I was in so much pain. And my midwife said, stay in bed. You know, you need to heal. Don't go anywhere. And so she came to the house numerous times to try to help me. And she took one look at me and she was like, oh. And I was like immediately deflated. Like when she looked at my itty bitty, I call them the itty bitty titties. My middle name should be TMI. But and I was like, I feel broken, you know. And so the long story short about the whole thing was like, I spent thousands of dollars trying to make my breasts work, you know, of something that should be free and natural. And, you know, it should just work, but it didn't. And then through my midwife, she had a network with all of her patients. We all were in a group. And so there were a lot of moms that had an oversupply. So they were donating milk. So I had a lot of milk that was donated to me, which was amazing. And then in the interim, I was using this thing called an SNS. I don't remember what it stands for, but it's a contraption. It was very annoying, but I did it. It's this thing where you fill with formula, and then it has these tiny little tubes that you tape to your nipple so that you are feeding your baby whatever milk can come out of you as well as the formula at the same time. So at least you're able to do that. So that's what I did for about 6 months until one day he started smacking me while I was feeding him. And I think, I mean, they were just empty. I don't even know. And he was just like, that's it. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I was like, what the hell is going on right now? But I was pumping like crazy because they said, like, they told me, like, the more you pump, the more you can produce. And like, I was obsessed and I would wake myself up every 2 hours to pump. And like this much would come out, you know, or sometimes just a couple of drops. But, then they taught me how to like express, like hand express, and it would like shoot across the room. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, how is that even in there? You know, because I would go to pump and only a drop would come out, but I would squeeze myself and it would shoot across the room. Like, this is crazy. But it only lasted about 6 months. And then he just didn't want to do it anymore. And it made me really sad. Because I really enjoyed doing it, even with all that contraption on all the time, you know, and with all the pumping and everything. And I drank all the teas and I made all the tinctures and the, you know, all the anything I could find that said it would help to produce more milk, I would do it. And that's where all the money came because I was just buying things. Like, let's see if this works. Let's see if this works. Let's see if this works. And I'm going to hire this person. And I was so determined. And then after a while, I was like, all right, formula it is, you know. And so then from there, I had to learn about everything, you know, I was just learning about it all. And just like, he was so hungry. And I actually started giving him like cereal in his bottle, like a lot earlier than you're supposed to, you know, like then the books tell you, you know, and I was always second guessing, well, the book says this. And I'm like, well, my son says he's hungry. So just got to figure this out, you know, and, you know, and like the first, I have pictures. I was obsessed with taking pictures. Like I literally have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pictures and videos and all the things. And I made a private YouTube channel just to put my videos on so I wouldn't lose them. Smart, yeah. Oh, I actually
upgrade my Google Store.
Seriously, right? I was like, I can put it on YouTube and they won't charge me. So I'll just make a private thing. And then like one day, like maybe 2 years ago, out of nowhere, it was really weird. I received an email from YouTube saying they were removing one of my videos for violation of their whatever. And I was like, what video is that? What did I violate? What the hell? And so they sent me a copy of the video and it was a video of my son in the bathtub. And I'm like, and he was like, I don't know, 3 months old. And I'm like, really? That violate? Oh, wow. Okay. And then they just deleted it and didn't even give me a chance to like save it or anything. And that was it. Like that was odd. But, yeah, I was just obsessed with being a mom at that point and being the best mom that I possibly could. And I think I was trying too hard at one point.
And, do you feel like you had mentioned about being kind of like obsessive during pregnancy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like any of that had like an effect on your mental health, like especially afterwards when you were pumping a lot and trying to produce milk?
Yes. Yes, it really did. And I'm a stuffer. So whenever something bothers me, I stuff it all the way down to my feet. And, you know, until I explode, you know, we all have those explosions where we stuff things. And so I would then, you know, I would go from this just, you know, being so laser focused on doing everything right. Like for me, I'm a recovering perfectionist. So like I think it's like, cause my mom always like everything had to be perfect. Everything had to be perfect. And so that's how I would always lived. Everything has to be perfect. And that's why I think I become so obsessed about things because I have to make it just right. You know? And so yeah. It really did. It played a big toll on that because I wanted everything to be just right. And you know what? The baby doesn't come with a manual. We don't get instructions, right? We don't get instructions. And we have to figure things out, trial and error. And, you know, every baby's different. We're all different. We all have different fingerprints. You know, we all have a different human design. We're all different. We're all different. And what the book says might not work for you, you know? And I had to let it all go. I had to let it go. I did. And I did get a therapist. And I'm still in therapy because then I got divorced and it was like this whole thing. So like I've been going through therapists because like, you know, they get you to a certain point and then you need a new view or a new angle or a new whatever and like different things that you're tackling and whatever. But yeah, but I highly recommend talking it out, getting support. And not trying to do it all on your own and asking questions. And if you don't get the answer you want to hear, keep asking. Keep asking and ask different people, you know, and join the groups and see what resonates with you and find your tribe because it does take a village. It really does. Like just life in general, like whether you have kids or not, it takes a village. You know, we all need each other to help each other. And I find a lot of times, just in my experience, that with just comparing, you know, like we all just compare each other and it's getting worse and worse and worse. Like with social media, everyone's trying to keep up with the Joneses and all these things. And it makes us feel less than, you know, and then it tends to make us retreat inside. And then we tend to not ask for help. And then we're all just suffering in silence. And I think that that's a huge issue just in general with women. And we need to get over ourselves and just ask for help because like I particularly don't love suffering. I really don't. I don't recommend it. And life is so much better when you ask for help. And it is so hard for me to ask for help. And it's always been that way. But life is so much better and so much easier when you find support. And it could be from anywhere, you know, it can be from a chiropractor, it could be from an online Facebook support group, it could be from your local friends, it could be even, you know, calling your midwife or whoever and saying, hey, do you have a network? You know, just asking for help is just key, because it will affect your mental health. It will. And there can be so many crazy, scary roads that could go down. If you stay inward and you let yourself crack.
Eileen, tell us a little bit about how you became a money coach.
This is such an interesting story. Not that my whole story isn't totally amazing. It all started from my divorce. So during my divorce, I ran out of money and my attorney's office was harassing me for money. And then they started seizing everything that I had. And they were threatening me and telling me they would stop services and all these things. And so I had to sell my house to pay for my divorce. And I also had to get a new job at the time, because that job with all the pregnant women, I was working with my ex-sister-in-law at the time. And she was making just life miserable for me at the office. And I had a great job. I loved it there. But it became quite toxic and I really needed to leave. So thanks to the universe, I found an amazing job, an even better job. And then that's all around that time was my son and I got into a really bad car accident and we both ended up in the hospital and my car was totaled. And all of this was happening at the same time during my divorce at the tail end of a bankruptcy. So at the end of the day, when my divorce was final, I received an envelope in the mail from my attorney's office with a check for all of the money that I had left in the world. $347. I would have gotten tens of thousands of dollars in the sale of my home, but they took it all. And now I'm a single mom with a five-year-old with $347. Need to get a new house, new job, new car, all the things. I'm like, what the hell, you know? And that was my rock bottom moment. It was just so rock bottom for me. And it was amazing because I'm so persistent with everything that I do that with my money, I bounced back so fast that I had a fully funded emergency fund. I was completely debt free. I paid off that car, that new car that I got. I got a 6-year car loan because I didn't know how long, you know, I didn't know anything. I didn't know how much money I was going to be making, nothing. You know, I had to get a car and I was like, I'm going to stretch those payments out as long as I can. So I paid that car off in 3 years. And then my credit score jumped from 600s to the 800s. And now I'm on track to retire early. And I did all of that in like no time. In just a couple of years. And then all of my friends started asking me, Eileen, how did you do this? This is amazing. Show me what you did. I want to know. Like, I want to learn about money, you know? So I started showing them the very simple things that I did for myself. And then they started getting the same results that I was getting. And then they just started telling people, hey, Eileen can help you with money. And then I started teaching my son all about money around the same time as well. And then he said, hey, mommy, you should help other moms. And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. And that's how I became the money coach for moms. And then it just turned into, like, at first it was a side hustle and then now it's a business. And it's just been incredible. And I get to help the most amazing women turn their lives around. And basically what we do is I teach you everything there is to know about money and we cut out all the fluff. I created a simple, very, very simple system. Basically, I teach the moms like I taught my son, right? So I make it so simple that even a 10-year-old can do it, you know? And I also have a podcast. It's called Moms Who Money. And I do short episodes for busy moms. And it's just so amazing. So I help you from where you are now so that you can create the life you want later and stop living paycheck to paycheck. Help you get out of debt, still enjoy your life, do all the things. So that, you know what, you're not going to be the old lady with the walker with the tennis balls on it walking into the office because you can't retire because you have no money saved. You know, it's amazing because it's our responsibility to save money for our own future and no one's teaching that. you know? And it's also our kids' responsibility to save for their own futures. And the earlier they start, the better off they are, right? So that's why my son, he's set for life. He's already saving for a car. He's going to buy his own car when he turns 18. He already has thousands of dollars saved in cash and investments. You know, it's amazing. And he actually did my podcast interview He did my podcast last week because I had lost my voice. So he's like, "Mommy, I want to do it." So he did a whole episode all by himself.
I will definitely have to listen to that.
It was good. It was really good. He talked me up a lot.
Well, he should.
Yeah.
That's great. Eileen, thank you so much for being here with me and for sharing your amazing, empowering birth story.
Thank you so much for having me. That was awesome. I loved reliving that.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
If you know someone who could benefit from listening to today's episode, please pass it along to them. Thank you for listening.